Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The story out of Atlanta, the mayor there, Kasim Reed, fired his fire department chief. Now, that's not unusual at all. I mean, this kind of stuff happens. City politics is rough and tumble stuff, but it's the reason for which the fire chief was actually fired. That is that the mayor was deeply disturbed and indignantly proclaimed that he would not tolerate discrimination within his administration. Now, was he guilty, the fire chief, of discrimination on the job? No, but he did publish a book, and the book said something about God's views on homosexual practice, and that's why he was fired. You got to wonder, we've had the private sector version of this with, remember last year, the firing of Brandon Eich from Mozilla because he had given, what, $1,000 to support traditional marriage in California? Is this perhaps the private sector version of that? Joining us to talk about the story, Travis Weber, director of the Center for Religious Liberty for the Family Research Council, based in Washington, D.C. Travis, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on.
Is this the public sector version of the private sector firing of Brandon Eich from Mozilla for his donation to traditional marriage in California?
I would say, based on what we know now, it's arguably worse, at least equal to that, but arguably worse. In Brandon Eich's situation, actually, based on the available facts, he stepped down under pressure. Now, you could argue that the pressure was absolutely unjustified based on the situation, not connected to his job performance or anything that people might consider legitimate. Nevertheless, he did step down in the face of that pressure, whereas here, Chief Cochran's been fired. And despite the mayor's attempted justification and explanation, which are quite preposterous, all available evidence at this point it clearly supports the conclusion that he was fired due to his religious beliefs, indeed due to his religious views.
So tell us the story of what happened to Kelvin Cochran.
So Chief Cochran, over 1 year ago, wrote a book for a men's Bible study discussing his religious beliefs. This book really referenced and quoted from the Bible on a number of topics. One of those topics occupying a quite small portion of the book is sexuality, including what God and the Bible have to say about homosexuality. There was, you know, contrary to reports that, you know, people start to make about these type of things, there's no incendiary rhetoric or anything like that. You know, this was a reference and a quote to what the Bible has to say about sexuality. This book was around for almost a year with no problems. Apparently, someone reported the presence of the book to the mayor's office, which opened an investigation, suspended the chief for 30 days, and then the other week terminated him for apparently his religious beliefs, despite the attempted explanation at the chief failing to go through the proper procedures and protocols. But by all available accounts and evidence, this is censorship and firing of someone because of their religious beliefs.
So I mean, it seems quite clear that the issue over which he was fired had nothing to do with the performance of his duties as a public official.
Oh, not at all. I mean, he's an exemplary employee and a stand-up guy. The mayor's attempted to argue that employees were interviewed and they felt that that these views had crossed the line and things like that. But there's not even an allegation, not even one allegation of a specific instance unfair treatment by Chief Cochran. And the mayor's office admits this in its own report it just released, justifying his termination. The argument is that the employees were somehow appalled by these sentiments, and while not conclusively, then basing the firing on that, on the idea that they were appalled. You know, the mayor's office tries to point to these things bits and pieces in an attempt to kind of create the aura that this was a legitimate firing. But I mean, doesn't even try to do that with the specific allegations. Admits there's no specific allegations of unfair treatment, discriminatory conduct, or anything like that by Chief Cochran in the workplace.
Now, as far as you see it, what is the issue of religious liberty at play here? What have we watched here? I take it from your first response that a certain threshold with regard to religious liberty, at least for service in the public sector, has been crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the mayor does not want this to be about religious liberty, but he knows it's about religious liberty, and which is, you know, that's why he constantly is putting out statements and defending himself, stating that this is not about religious liberty, but he knows it is. You know, and he's trying to paint this as there were some administrative problems and Chief Cochran didn't go through the proper protocols and procedures. You know, and even then he tries to paint this as discriminatory. You know, this is not the type of view that I would want in my department. You know, but what we have to examine here is what led this situation to erupt in the first place. Chief Cochran wrote a book on his religious views, naturally concluding that, you know, he must agree with what God says about sexuality, which includes homosexuality. That's by definition a religious view, a religious issue. That's what caught the attention of everyone involved in this in the city of Atlanta initially, what led to the investigation and what led to the termination. I find it extremely hard to believe that we'd be at this spot we're at today if this book was not written on this topic. Indeed, if it wasn't written with this specific view, more than the topic, it's the view on sexuality, a biblical view that has everyone up in arms here. Chief Cochran needs to stand by what he's done, and he appears to be doing that at this point, standing with conviction for his beliefs. People need to stand with him, supporting his rights. These are rights that if we don't fight for, they do eventually go away.
Travis Weber is director of the Center for Religious Liberty for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council and their Center for Religious Liberty at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Travis, thanks for keeping us updated, and thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me on.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Straight ahead. We're going to spend the first part of that hour with you, our listeners, through your email and your Issues Etc. comments on the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll go through your email, answer as much of it as we can in the course of that second hour, and then we'll round it all off with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse from the Ruth Institute. She often joins us to respond to matters having to do with marriage, with life, and all of those things. Well, here's a different subject, but it bears upon the issue of life. Most certainly, Pope Francis is supposed to have a forthcoming encyclical on the environment. Now, the date for its publication has not even been announced yet, but already people are waiting with bated breath to see what he will say. She says she can tell you already what he won't say that may not sit well with the radical environmentalist movement. But she says there's an opportunity here for pro-lifers to build a bridge and to say, you know what? We can care about life, which often the environmental movement cares very little for. We can care about life, and we can also care about the environment at the same time. We'll see what she means by that in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.